Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to ensure that you will receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself parsed and expressed and said that they are life and they are spirit, living words to guarantee everlasting life. Leading words, it will lead you to everlasting life. Praise God. Today is special for all of us. One of the things that makes today a very special day is that God has given you the opportunity to see this new day. He woke you up this morning, and look, He woke you up in your right mind, meaning also He given you another day, another opportunity to get things right with Him. So this makes your day very special. Beautiful day for the Lord. God bless you. Thank you also for allowing us to come into your home week after week with these little Bible sessions and these little inspirationals. Today, I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you have a Bible around, in the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and I want you to read with me from verse 28. Luke chapter 9, we are going to read verse 28, and we might read 29 and 30. It's a little lengthy story, so I'm just pulling a little excerpt out to read it with you. Amen. Luke chapter 9, again, Luke chapter 9, verse 28 and 29, and we might read verse 30. It says, and it came to pass about an 8 day after these sayings that Jesus Christ, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talk with Him two men which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and speak of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. And then look at verse 32. It says, but Peter and they that were with him, they were heavy with sleep, and when they were awakened, it says, they saw His glory and the two men that stood with Him. 8 days before this event that I'm talking about happened, Peter got a revelation from God. And the revelation that Peter got from God was that the identity of Christ, even though he was looking at Christ in his humanity, his identity was revealed. Peter looked at Christ and realized that Jesus is not just in human fashion, but he realized that this Jesus is also a divine person. And not that alone, but he realized that even though he's watching Jesus in his human nature, he realized he is the Son of God. And if He is the Son of God, then He has to be also God. That revelation came 8 days before this event. And Peter, when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Peter answered, and Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one, the Christ, the Son of God, but the God that is alive. He said, you are the Son of God, but not any God, the God that is living, the living God. Jesus replied back to Peter, and he said, don't you dare believe that you came up with that answer on your own. Don't you dare believe that you figure it out on your own. He said, Peter, that answer was revealed from God, from heaven, to you through the Holy Spirit. God revealed it to you. You didn't know the answer, Peter. God showed it to you. It is called then the pneumatic revelation of Peter about Jesus Christ. But 8 days later, you see, in that moment, Peter only got a revelation of who Jesus really was. Because before that, people had a hard time figuring out who Jesus really is or was. And that's why Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" Some people were saying, "Oh, you are one of the prophets." And some people were saying, "No, we think that you are Elijah." Some people were even saying, "No, that you are John the Baptist who reincarnated, came back like to life." Oh, people had all type of opinions about who Jesus really was. And those opinions were wrong. Some folks, even today, people have wrong opinions about who Jesus is. Some people believe, "Oh, Jesus, he was a good man. Oh, Jesus, he was a mighty teacher. Oh, Jesus, oh, he was a prophet." No, he wasn't. Jesus, his real identity, Son of God. And if he's the Son of God, he must have to be equal with God. Same substance of God, then you have to be God. Peter got this revelation from God. Yes, he did. God said, "This is my son," and Peter somehow voiced it, "You are the Christ." But Peter needed now to get this eyewitness experience. He got the verbal confirmation that this Jesus is the Son of God. So 8 days later, Christ, Jesus himself, took Peter, James, and James's brother John. He took the three of these guys, and the Bible said he took them to a high mountain, separated, to be by themselves with him, but he took them up there to pray. Notice, this chapter has to do with two things. It has to do with Christ revealing himself to his disciples, but it also has to do with Christ revealing himself through prayer. Through prayer. Sometimes when we have difficult issues to resolve, sometimes the answer is in prayer. Sometimes when we don't know what decision to make, what route to take, what to choose, what to elect, what to select, sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes you don't even know the answer to the situation that we are going through. Sometimes we can't figure out what's happening. What's the next course? What's the next step? We don't know. We need sometimes for God to show us or reveal, "Show me, God." And I want you to know that if you will pray, God can show you the things that you need to know for the benefit of your life. And he will do it through prayer. Why it doesn't happen more frequently? Why it doesn't happen to more people? Because we won't pray. And why we don't pray? Because we get distracted. There are many reasons why people won't pray. They won't pray. But the answer to many situations of life is in prayer. Notice here, Peter, James, and John. The Bible says 8 days after. 8 days after what? After Peter got that revelation from God. He said 8 days after, Jesus took these three guys and said, "Come on, let's go to pray." And in order to pull them, he had to to get them up for prayer, he had to pull them to himself. The Bible says he pulled them to himself and took them up to a high mountain to be separated and to be by themselves. Sometimes for prayer to be really effective in our life, we have to make it intentional. If you think a desire is going to come, I'm going to pray because I want to pray, I have this desire to pray, that thing doesn't happen like that all the time. You have to make it an intentional purpose in your life. You want to pray, sometimes you have to force yourself to go and do it. Because we are living in a flesh. We are in this earthly body. And this flesh doesn't like to please the Spirit of God. This flesh is always in rebellion to God. So this flesh, this body, never wants or longs to be in connection with God. No, this flesh will long to be in connection with God. Once it is in crisis, it have a problem, it run to God. But if everything is going smooth and hunky-dory, this flesh doesn't want anything to do with God. So in order to pray, sometimes you have to force yourself. You got to grab yourself and say, come on, let's go pray. If not, it just doesn't happen. Well, Jesus grabbed them and said, come on. And he took them to be by themselves, to a high mountain, separate themselves. Distraction. You ever notice that anytime you get ready to pray, the phone rings, somebody knocked the door, the favorite TV program just came on, the soap operas just came up, and Luke and Laura and The World Turn and General Hospital and all these fancy soap operas, they just jump out, and your favorite chapter is going to come on. Distractions, they happen. You ever kneel down to pray, and as you go inside the bedroom and you kneel beside your bed, and as you begin to pray, the grandchild running and pull your ma, all the daughters fighting with the son, something always happened. The discouragement, the distraction. And that's why the scripture said Jesus pulled them to pray, but he had to separate them to be by themselves. Notice this chapter is very dramatic. Now Jesus took them up to pray with him. He said, come on, I need you all to pray with me. And took them with him to pray. And then when I read the scriptures seems to show us the tension that is happening. If you notice, look at this, chapter 9 and verse 28 says, and it came to pass about an 8 day after these sayings that he took Peter, James, and John and went up into a mountain to pray. He went up there to pray with them. But notice the following verse, verse 29 says, and as he prayed, he took them with him to pray, but they're praying. Who is praying? Only him. It says, and as he did the praying. And what were they doing? The Bible said, and Peter and James and John, they were heavy with sleep. Heavy with sleep. And instead of praying, they went to bed. They were knocked out. A lot of people, that's their issue with prayer too. The issue with prayer is they say, I don't know, anytime I kneel down to pray, beside the distraction, I get sleepy and I go to sleep. Because this flesh doesn't want to please God. So things that discourage prayer is distractions, and also you get tired, overwhelmed. All the rigorousness of the day comes upon you and overwhelms you. You get tired. In that moment, the body remember, I need to sleep. And you go to sleep. Another reason why some people having issues with prayer, because they say, well, I just run out of words. I don't know what to say. And when I kneel down to pray, I say everything in 2 minutes and I run out of words. I don't know what else to say. Because for them, prayer is only saying something to God. God wants us to know, no, prayer is of a deeper experience than just a conversation. Prayer is more than just saying something to God. If prayer was just saying something to God, you'd run out of words in 2 minutes. There's nothing much to say in 2 minutes. But when prayer becomes an experience, a visitation with God, a time spent with God, then you don't run out of words. Oh, because you want to have this intimate moment with God. So there are many little reasons why people have issues with prayer, and I just mentioned these. But I want you to know also that one of the first good things about prayer, and I marked out at least 3 little things about prayer. Number one is that prayer changes things. And you have heard it many times. Prayer will change the situation. Prayer will change. Prayer will change. Prayer will change. Prayer will change. Because we know that prayer changes. Prayer changes. Prayer changes. Most folks, most people must say, they will be like, well, prayer changes things. But the first thing that prayer will like to change is you. We want the prayer to change the situation, change the other person, change the circumstances, change the conditions. We want prayer to do things on the outside. But notice, when Jesus began to pray, it doesn't change the circumstances outside of him first. No, the first thing that the prayer changed is Jesus Christ. And God is saying the same thing to us. That if you will pray, God will change you. But you must pray. The Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance changed. Who changed? Jesus himself was altered. The Bible says his fashion was altered. He changed. Changed to what? Well, remember that he was there in his human nature, in his humanity. But as he began to change, the Bible says that this humanity kind of peeled back itself. And the divine glory of Christ began to be shown. He was changed from his humanity into his divinity. Peter and James and John, they were sleeping, but they woke up just in time to get a glimpse of him. And the Bible said they saw his glory. Peter woke up and said, oh, look, look, look. He knew Jesus in his human form, in his humanity. You are the Christ, remember? But now he's seeing it. First he said, oh, you the Christ, the Son of God. But now he is seeing it with his own eyes. He was sleeping and the brightness woke him up perhaps. And when he opened his eyes and he looked, he said, oh my God. He's seeing Jesus Christ in his divine fashion. The Bible says they saw his glory. They saw his real identity. That he ain't not just no prophet. He ain't just no good teacher. He's the Son of God. But how they saw this, how did this happen? The Bible says, as he prayed, the countenance, his fashion was altered. He changed from his humanity to his divinity. Of course, we don't have no divinity. We are just human beings. But what we're trying to learn here is this, that prayer, if you pray, the first thing that prayer wants to change is you. The first thing it changed in Jesus when he prayed was his humanity into his divinity. And then he came back. He wants us to do the same for you. If you will pray, he will change you. The first thing that prayer wants to change is you. There are some things in your life that you cannot change for yourself. There are some things in your life that God wants to change for you. And it can be accomplished through prayer. Jesus had to take them and force them to come and pray. And when he forced them to pray, the Bible says, as he prayed, he began to change. He began to change. And not that alone, but then it said, and also his clothing, his surrounding, his vesture, also they began to change. So you notice, he changed first, and then his circumstances change after. I'm here to tell you today, there's a change that God can wrought in your life. There are some things that God can change. God can change that situation in your home, your husband, your wife, your children, your posterity, that situation on your job, in your health, that sickness. All of those things, God can change it or change them. But the thing he wants to change first is you. So don't waste your time with the things. Waste your time with you. Say, God, change me first. Because it's more important for him to change you than to change your circumstances. And he can do it through prayer and through Jesus Christ. So invite Jesus into your heart and a big change will come about. God bless you. Until we meet again, we'll speak some more about this. God bless you again.